Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. 我发觉今天跟往常不太一样，今天这次是比较中文比较多。I noticed that this time I have more Chinese audience than Westerners. I assume you're Westerners. You look like one. So, 非常谢谢今天大家能抽空，在这种重要的日子过来。传统性来一起聚在一起来
讨论跟回忆当初九一发生的什么事情。那在开始前我想请大家默哀一分钟。 So thank you for coming to Chan Center on this important day. Before we officially start, we're going to take a minute silence dedicated to our 911 victimsSo we're going to officially start our talk today. So today's talk is 9/11, Awakening from Impermanence. And basically I'm going to talk a little bit about the relationship between trauma and mental health. 所以今天的主题主要是讨论灾难跟我们心理健康的一些那个 relationship, 我们灾难对我们心理健康有什么影响。那我想最开始我想就是用师父当初其实师父教导过我们很多事情，但是我觉得今天如果你忘记了我今天所有讲的，今天这个就是一个重点，心安就是平安。 So I think 师父 has taught us many things, and this is an advertisement from Taiwan, and what 师父 said here is peacecome from your mind. When you harmonize your mind, then we gain peace. So I think this is a good way to summarize what I want to talk about today. So if you miss anything today, then this is the key point of the day. 所以今天的重点，如果大家回去忘了我讲什么话，心安就是平安，这是今天的重点。那在这个在开始之前，我有稍微看了一下师父对这个911的做了一些开示。那我记得师父在可能2002左右在 Stony Brook 有做了一个有关911的演讲，有关911的演讲。那师父在这个911的演讲讲到什么呢？师父告诉大家在应付恐怖及灾难最好的方法呢，基本上有几点，三点。第一点就是平时就要做好防御的准备工作，经常要有危机意识，因为生灭无常是一切现象的必然性。So, before I give this lecture, I looked up what 师父 had talked about regarding 9/11, and I found that 师父 gave a talk, around 2002, I don't remember exact dates.He gave a talk at Stony Brook regarding Chan practice and world peace. And so he talked about several things. One of the first thing is the best way to face disaster and face terror attack is we should be prepared. We should be prepared. And what are we prepared for? Prepare for impermanence.所以师父要我们准备什么？要准备面对无常，无常。唯有面对、接受、处理、放下我们的无常，我们才能减轻我们的损失。当然，这个损失不只是物质上的损失，还有心理上的损失。So what 师父 say that we need to be prepared for? 师父 say we need to be prepared for impermanence. And Okay, that's interesting. yes, Sufu said we have to be prepared for impermanence. 同时，师父也说到说，从无常呢，我们可以看到人生的真理，所以我们也最好要运用到禅修的方法来体验内心的宁静和平，进一步便可经验到每一个人都是宇宙的一部分，根本和宇宙的全体无法分割，这样世界哪里还有不和平的呢？所以 ，So， 师父 said other than not only we need to prepare for impermanence from our understanding of impermanence, we need to cultivate our charm practice. From our charm practice, we can learn that we're actually interconnected. Once we have this sense of interconnectedness, we can cultivate true world peace. So, this is what Sifu said during the lecture. I thought it's very interesting and I really like what Sifu talked about, so I sort of take his format and make into three topics for today. So, 我把Sifu的演讲当作一个模式，那我今天的演讲也是三个，也是依师父讲的三个部分，有三个重点。第一个重点就是灾难，如果在灾难来的时候，我们的反应是什么？那我们可以做什么来让我们的来去面对我们的一些心理反应？那第二呢，就是从我们面对心理反应的这些状态呢，我们如何去了解无常，然后再从了解无常之中如何去了解那个 peace 自由，不是自由，那和平是要怎么样去追寻。 So from 师父's talk, I also use 师父's talk as a template. I developed three points for today's talk. The first talk is response. When disaster comes, what are the natural response that we will have, and what can we do about the response?And from the way we react to response, we can start to understand certain meaning about impermanence. All Buddhists need to learn about impermanence. So what can we learn about impermanence? And finally, peace. How can we cultivate peace? How can we cultivate peace? So those are the three topics I would like to talk about. So let's start with the first one, reactions, or the common reaction that we have when we have trauma.所以第一点我想要就是第一点我想开始的就是心理反应，我们在遇到灾难的时候会有什么心理反应。我想911当然对大家来讲应该还是印象非常的深刻，那师父也说过救苦救难的是菩萨，受苦受难的是大菩萨，所以如果我们要让这些911的灾民可以牺牲的有价值的话，我们要把他们的牺牲来当作我们学习的经验，所以我们可以学到更多，然后可以帮助更多人。 So I think 师父 once said that people who help the victims during disaster are bodhisattvas, but people, the victims are great bodhisattvas because they sacrifice their life to teach us some real meaningful lessonsSo I think it's important that we take our time to reflect what can we learn from disasters. So 今天我主要想要讲的就是在灾难的时候我们也可以学习到很多。那灾难其实不止911，就像最近天灾人祸特别多，今天像我这个整个暑假都出国，然后一回到纽约马上大地震，然后大地震马上几天之后马上Hurricane， 我在想说再过几天可能蝗虫就会飞过来了，所以这个真的是无常，很难预料啊。So, disaster is really hard to predict. Other than 9/11, I was taking vacation in summer the whole time. So when I just returned, you have the earthquake. Then comes with hurricane, and then I don't know what's gonna happen next. The locusts probably started gonna come in soon. So, I mean,It's very hard to predict what's going to happen. 那在灾难来临的时候呢，我们通常有几个反应，大都是蛮类似的。那其中一个最类似的反应呢，最主要的几个反应呢，一个是 shock， 一个是 denial， 就是当灾难来临的时候呢，当灾难来临的时候呢，我们大部分的人通常都会受到惊吓，受到惊吓。那除了惊吓之外呢，很多时候我们都会所谓的denial 中文要翻成否定，对，好，谢谢，我的中文不够好，所以可能要请各位帮忙一下。So there are several things that's normal when a disaster happens. The very first thing that usually happens to most of us is shock and denial. Shock and denial. And this doesn't have to be major disaster. This could be disasters such as you get mugged, or you found out you have cancer, let's say. So these are the common reaction people have towards disasters, common disasters. However, after the initial shock, there are many different reactions that people have. Um, 第一最常见的反应呢，就是你的反应会情绪会特别的激烈，情绪会特别的激烈，或是非常的非常的不知道会有什么反应，非常的不知道会有什么反应，就是你不知道你到底会有什么反应。The one of the very first common reaction after the initial shock and denial is that your emotion will be very intense.And it's actually unpredictable. And there are many different reactions, such as grief, sadness, anger, anxiety, fear. This is all very common reaction after our initial reaction. 所以在通常在我们那个受到惊吓之后，通常随着而来的情绪都是非常激烈的，当然不是每一个人都是这样，当然很多时候随着过来的情绪都非常激烈，譬如说生气、忧郁、恐惧，或是罪恶感很深厚、很深重，有时候还会对我们自己的那个信仰产生怀疑，很大的怀疑，所以这个是非常一些正常的心理反应，非常正常的心理反应。我记得我有一次我年轻的时候年轻人可能都很爱开车嘛，都很爱开车的，都是一有机会就想开车，所以我记得有一次我那时候大学可能大一还大二的时候刚拿到驾照，我可能去那个开车的补习班三天，你知道那种开车你要考试你要上10个小时嘛，但是其实那些开车补习班其实只要给你上个3次你大概10小时就用完了，所以我就是去了3次学开车去考驾照，很幸运的考到驾照，然后考到驾照隔一天刚好同学有事不能开车回家，我就自告奋勇说我可以替你开车回家嘛，所以那是我第四次开车，你知道发生了什么事情吗？新手上路总会发生一点事情嘛，对啊，新手上路真的是发生事情。开车的时候不小心出车祸，而且是蛮严重的车祸。那时候我的反应就像我刚才讲的一样，惊吓。我可能这辈子没有整个人从活生生的人变成冷冰冰的人，那种感觉我很难解释，但是你会忽然从个很热很热的一个人忽然变成一个好像全身冰冷的一个人。 So I was telling a story about my personal experience of driving. So So as a young man, when I was a young man in college, like freshman in college, all young men love to drive when they get a chance. So what I did is I had to go to driving school to learn how to drive. And usually I think like New York State require you have like 10 hours of a driving lesson. Of course, the driving school, they let you kill those 10 hours within a short period of classes. So I probably went to 3 classes, spent 10 hours, and then that's pretty much it. And I would take to my, and when I went to take my test, and I actually passed my test, only if I drove 3 times. So right after I get my license the next day, I never have a talk that echoes. It's very interesting. Okay. Okay. Imagine this is like a 5,000 audience and then this is happening. I'd be shocked myself. Yes. Talking about shocking. Okay. So the fourth time I drove is when I just got my license. So smart me think I know how to drive, and guess what happened when I drove out? Car accident. I never felt that way when I had my first car accident. I was turning from hot to ice cold in one instant. Totally. I never had that in my life after that. Instant. Hot to cold. And the reason why I thought I feel so cold, because the first thing I thought of is, oh my God, they're going to send me back to Taiwan. Yeah, I was in, you know, as an immigrant, that's the only thing you think about. Gee. So I asked the police, am I going to be sent back to Taiwan? He's like, no. Yeah. 所以那时候为什么会从一个我会很惊吓到 其中一部分是当然出车祸是一个蛮严重的事情, 但另外一个想法就是 我会被遣送回国这样, 遣送回台湾。 那你知道那个移民对这个是一个非常 一个重要的话题, 我会不会被遣送回国。 所以然后之后情绪就是起伏很大。 之后我的那个朋友跟我的那个表弟就跟我说, 我看起来好像那个僵尸一样, 整个月就这样走来走去, 行尸走肉, 可能就是这个意思。 So I think after the car accident for like a month, I walked like a zombie, as my cousin told me. I literally walked like a zombie, you know. And so there are many common reactions that people have. So other than feelings, your thought and behavior changes as well. Your thought and behavior changes as well. 所以那个灾难过后之后呢，不止你的情绪有重大的改变，你的想法跟做法也会有重大的改变。譬如说你有时候会常常去回想这个灾难的事情，常常去回想，就算你不想回想的时候，你也会去回想。 然后你可能睡眠会很不佳，睡眠饮食不佳，然后除了睡眠饮食之外，你可能还会酗酒，因为有些人还会去酗酒来去解决他的那个睡眠的问题，这样子。So your thought and behavior usually changes right after disaster, after an initial response, and such things are the changes such as repeated memories. Repeated thoughts, you will ruminate about what happened. You might have flashbacks or memories that you don't want to have. Flashbacks. You tend to be very aroused, so you're not sleeping or eating too well at times. And sometimes it's hard for you to concentrate. So these are some of the common reactions. And not only your emotions and thoughts process change, your emotional reaction might repeat itself at times. For example, anniversaries. This is the 10th year of 9/11 anniversary. And it's not uncommon that people still have strong emotional reaction when the anniversary comes. So emotion might repeat itself. So emotion can repeat during anniversaries or events. that remind you of the traumatic event. 所以这个情绪它有时候会消失，但是它还会重复。那什么时候会重复呢？最常重复的时候是那个就是周年的时候，或是不是周年，就是譬如说每个月的同一天你会忽然想到这件事情，或是过年过节的时候你会联想到，就是重要的节日的时候你会联想到你的这个灾难的事情，或是你受创伤的时候的事情。那或是遇到我们那个东方讲触景情深，就是虽然说你情绪已经稳定，但是你遇到类似的情境，你那个情绪又会再出来。最后一两点是也是非常正常的反应，就是你的人际关系会受到影响，会受到影响。有时候你会跟家人，因为你比较不安，所以会处得比较不好。然后你的那个生理，有时候也会有生理上的反应，头痛、恶心之类，或是酸痛。So the other common effect of traumatic event is that interpersonally you might not doing as well. You might become more argumentative. You might become more hostile toward people around you.And you might also have physical symptoms, even though it's a very psychological thing. And common things are headache, nausea, chest pain. I remember at one time when I went to, I had some experience doing disaster relief with the medical teams. For example, last year I was at Haiti. When the Haiti earthquake comes, we were at Haiti after several months.I'm like the 10th medical team. So one of the common thing that people come to the clinic are headache. If there's no major symptoms, but headache is a very common symptom, like headache. So our Chinese doctors are actually very popular. The Oriental medicine actually very popular during the relief work. They do acupuncture.Acupuncture is very good for pain relief, actually. 所以那个灾难来的时候有很多生理的反应，像我去年有机会去参加一些赈灾的活动在海地，那我们那个医疗团队在海地其中看见非常常见的一个情况就是头痛 肌肉酸痛。那我们的中医就是非常的 popular 那时候，因为中医的那个针灸跟他的按摩对这方面是非常有帮助的。So the important point to know though, is that there's no one standard pattern of reaction. All the reactions I just talked about are pretty normal reactions. 所以最重要的一点就是我刚才讲很多不同的反应，但是其中的最重要需要知道就是他们其实很多的反应都是正常的。基本上这些反应都是正常的。我们那些是正常的反应，但是在不正常的状况下产生，是应该这样。So all the reactions I just talked about again are normal reactions, but they are normal reactions in an abnormal situations. So those are the situations that we're not normally in, so we're not familiar with those reactions. So, and all the reactions I just talked about, people can experience it differently. Some people experience it immediately.Some people experience it after a month later. So there's no a set pattern. There's no set pattern. And sometimes some people get over really quickly. Some people's symptom lasts for a long time. Okay. And reaction can change over time. For example, at first, you're not feeling anything. In fact, you're feeling very heroic. Actually, that's something that's common during the disaster, is people feel heroic. They want to be very helpful. They go out and they help. They're very energetic. Only after a while, they actually crash. So from the, what we call the honeymoon stage to the disillusion stage. You become very helpful, heroic, and then you felt depressed over time. 所以这个我们的反应 每个人的反应都是不一样，而且它会随着时间改变的。譬如说，有些人是一开始灾难一发生，马上就是非常难过跟伤心，但是有些人是灾难发生的时候，他非常的热心，他非常的有精神去帮助很多人，所以就是有点像英雄式的反应这样子。但是从英雄式的反应，他会忽然跌落谷底，就是梦我们说是有点像幻灭期吧，从蜜月期到幻灭期，所以我那个心路历程其实会改变的，心路历程会改变的。So, the response towards trauma can last it's different for everyone. It can last for weeks to months. Sometimes for some certain people, the response can last for years. Today I was listening to NPR to hear what people have to say about 9/11. There are people still have strong feeling towards 9/11. 所以我们这个情绪很难讲，有些人是一下子情绪就恢复，有些人需要几个月恢复，有些人需要好几年来恢复。那我们说这个灾难来临的时候啊，那个物质上的损坏是可以修理的，但有时候心理的损坏是需要很多时间才能去平复它。 So we say when the psychological when the disaster comes, physical destructiveness can be, we can rebuild whatever we lost physically, but sometimes psychologically, whatever you lost psychologically may take more time to rebuild than the physical part. In fact, there's one common saying in the field that for every one victim that suffer from physical symptoms, there are four victims suffer from psychological symptoms. That's the common ratio that we hear. 所以有时候我们说那个在灾难的时候，每一个受到那个生理上的损害损伤的人呢，每一个就有四个是受到心理上的损伤，它的比例是这样子。所以心理的重建跟生理的重建其实都是一样重要的。So, so most people report on average, I mean, of course, no one feel the same, but most people on average should feel better after a few months, like 1 to 3 months, people start to get better. Feeling wise. It's uncommon that your feeling is getting worse and worse. It's uncommon. Usually people is doing a little bit better as time goes by. However, there are a small percentage of people, maybe actually, statistics show that maybe 20% of people may have a probability. The probability of suffering for something worse is about 20%. What do I mean worse? 20% chance that some people might get PTSD after a disaster. So, I mean, that's a rough estimate. Don't take that as like the hardcore value. So 有些人可能不会，有少数人，大部分的人当然都是灾难过后会慢慢的恢复，但是有少数人可能会越来越严重，然后还会严重到可能还会有所谓的我们常常听到的那个创伤，这个叫什么？创伤症候群。So there are going to be small percent of people.Might develop PTSD after 2 years of trauma, after 2 years of disaster. 所以有可能两成的人有机会会得到这个创伤症候群的症状，差不多两年之后这样子。那创伤症候群大家有听过吗？有。So I assume people heard of PTSD before? Yeah. So what do you think that is? What do you think that is?你听到的是什么呢？你们听过的是什么是创伤症候群呢？你们有可以讲一下你们听到的吗？ 神经失常，神经失常听起来蛮。
他就不承认，他就一直沉在那个里面，好像就是说不跟外界，就是怎么讲，他是blind out，blind out，就跟外界他自己 close up，就自闭呀。
自闭，就是封闭自己。
对对。
嗯，有可能会这样，有可能会这样。So I was asking, what do you know about PTSD? And our sister said that one thing is avoidance. Sometimes people might lock themselves up, avoid contact with others. 自闭，英文 isolation, isolate, they become isolated. Could be true, yes, could be true. What else have you heard about PTSD? Oh, excellent. That's a classic symptom. Yes. Repeated memories, haunted images, repeated memories. Yes.
It's like I think Gainer is like a delayed reaction. I remember that during the Vietnam War, we had people that returned, and we heard about people that have wounded, or soldiers that came from Vietnam, and they would wake up in the middle of the night.
They become
agitated.
Yes, and you said delay reaction, meaning that sometimes they appear okay at the beginning.
Right. Yeah. Like at the beginning, and I think myself, I suffer from that. Like when I had, like when my grandmother died or my father died, right away I don't. Like I must have watched. Oh, why I feel so calm, and later on then I have these images.
And I feel like that then it's like when I feel the loss, you know,
Yes.
That sort of delayed reaction type of thing.
Yes. Sorry to hear about your grandma, but I think
she died in 1992, but I'm just remarking that when she passed away right away, and even my father who died not too long ago, like in that moment, I'm just trying to take care of things.
Yes.
And then later I'm like, oh, you know.
You start to feel it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's just like what I said, people have delay reactions.
Yeah.
Not everyone
really
feels the same way.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 所以这位师姐刚才也提到说，她说那个越战 的兵人回来的时候，一开始可能没什么，但是之后可能睡到一半会从梦中惊醒，好像又要在打仗了。然后她也提到说她那个亲人过世的时候，一开始好像她都还没什么感觉，但是后来马上那个情绪就出来了。我不知道台湾有部电影大家有没有看过，复后七日，有听过吗？复后七日，然后那个整个电影就是在跟靠北有关的，他就是一个女生，她爸爸过世后七天很忙很忙很忙，但是到最后她就是忽然感受到她爸爸失去了爸爸。所以在那个电影说，他电影有句名言，就是说，哦，人说靠北靠北，哦，原来靠北就是这样啊。所以 I was talking about there's a movie in Taiwan. There's a movie in Taiwan that's about how a girl lost her father through sickness. And the first 7 days in Taiwan, there are ceremonies that you need to follow through. So she didn't feel a thing for the first 7 days, and until later on, then she realized she really missed her father. And something interesting about Taiwan's culture is for certain people, when you lose your loved one, you have to cry at a certain time.
Spanish too.
They say, time to cry. So you see, like, she's eating and then she come out and she sort of cry and then she go back to eating again. So that's in the movie, that's how it looks like, you know. But then finally, the great thing about this movie is they show you how she transformed from this fake crying to real tears. 所以这个在电影的时候你会看到这个七天人家就是有那个很多习俗嘛，台湾很多习俗就是人家说哦来啊来烤啊，然后赶快冲出来哭两声，然后再冲回去继续吃饭的时候。我觉得是非常好的电影，可以大家有机会可以看一下新的电影复后七日，其实是小说然后改编成对最近的电影。我觉得不是啊，不是叫靠北啊，复后七日，复后七日就是复后七日，复后七日。
So let me just tell you a little bit about what PTSD is.
I just want to share something with you. In the Spanish culture, and when I was growing up, they would hire traditional criers.
Ah.
People that would come and cry. I don't think they do it anymore, but when I was growing up, they would still do it. If someone was deceased, people would come to cry officially for that.
Wow.
And I think in Spain also they did that.
Sounds great, because I think Taiwan does the same thing. And not only they have people crying, they have dancers. They have dancers while dancing on the car, and then they have people crying. They have people crying in front of a car, a truck, and then on the truck you have people dancing. It's very. I guess Spain and Taiwan have something similar. 他说他们那个西班牙也是有专门请假来哭的，嘿，那个靠调啊，靠调啊，靠调。你说他们西班牙人也是跟我们有一些类似的一样，也是有请专门来靠调啊。Okay, so let me just talk a little bit about what PTSD is a little bit just for your knowledge. PTSD has there's three parts to it. Quick way to remember it, there's three basic type. The first cluster of symptoms are re-experiencing. The second cluster is hyperarousal, and the third cluster is avoidance. So these are the three kind of symptoms that people would have that after a trauma. And the more important thing is those symptoms that you have will affect your work and interpersonal life. So that's the criteria. And usually you're not diagnosed with this until at least a month later. Yes?
Is hyper arousal, that's just like getting an adrenaline rush or something?
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Sort of like a zebra walking on a safari and saw a lion chasing after the zebra, then the zebra would get all jumped up.
Right. So it's the first time I ever heard of this was with in respect to the Vietnam War. That's when the psychological community seemed to start talking about this syndrome with respect to soldiers coming back, and it's now well established and so on. But yeah, I mean the typical thing about a soldier would come back, they couldn't sleep, they'd have a dream about being in battle again, and they'd immediately go into battle mode, you know.
That's right.
You know, and jump up and so on.
Battle mode would be a good word.
Yeah.
Of describing hyperarousal.
Yeah.
Yes, that battle mode. Yes, thank you. Thank you for clarify. 所以那个我讲一下那个创伤症候群有几个主要的症状。第一组症状呢，主要是所谓我们的英文叫做 re-experiencing， 那中文可能就是重复的经历。那第二组症状呢，就英文叫做 hyperarousal， 那中文可能就是要讲就是比较亢奋，或是比较不安，生理上不安。那第三组症状是逃避 avoidance。 So what do I mean by re-experiencing? Usually re-experiencing, people can re-experience through thought process. They think about it often, or flashbacks, having images about the traumatic event that you're not welcoming those images. So intrusive, those images are intrusive. So either dreams or images, that's intrusive. And you try to get rid of it, it's hard to get rid of it. Okay. 所以那个第一个症状呢，所谓的重新的经验 repeated experience, re-experiencing, 主要的症状就是有点，譬如说会不停的会，你不去想它的时候，它会画面会再重现，就是你受创伤的景象会再重现。那或是你做梦的时候，你会有噩梦，跟这个创伤有关的噩梦这样子。那其实我们在讲创伤症候群的时候呢，这个其中的更重要的一个 criteria 就是你要有受到创伤才能被 诊断有创伤症候群。那被诊断有创伤呢，你所谓的创伤呢，每个人可以受到创伤事情都不一样的，都标准的不一定的。这件事情对我有创伤，但对你可能是完全没什么。所以我们所谓的创伤的标准都是非常个人的，非常个人的标准。所以你老师打你三下，你可能会哭天喊地的，但是对另外一个小朋友可能是没事。所以这个是都是不一定的。So another major criteria I forgot to mention is that when you have diagnosed with PTSD, you actually have to experience some kind of traumatic event. You have to, that's one of the main criteria is, you know, you have to have some kind of traumatic event. However, whatever is traumatic to you,doesn't mean it's going to be traumatic to other people. So it's all very, subjective. So what's traumatic to you might not be traumatic to this person. So, for example, a kid get slapped by his parents 3 times could be so traumatic, but for another kid it's like nothing. That's like a normal, it's a usual thing. So, I mean, in Taiwan back then, every kid got beat up left and right. I mean,here we call that child abuse and so traumatic to the kid, but I mean, the kid in Taiwan is like, what? You didn't get beating? What's wrong with you? You know, like, it's a different culture, different thing, you know? So, 所以我说那个创 so, so Dominic can do the same,所以我说那个有时候什么是创伤，什么不是创伤，那个标准都是个人的。我说有时候这种台湾打小孩的方式啊，来到这个国家啊，每个小孩子可能会受到创伤啊。那在台湾那个都是很家常便饭，哎，你没打很奇怪这样子，每个人都是常被打，所以有时候这个标准很难定。那当然我们这个做老，在美国，如果是做老师、做医生，或是做心理学家，你都是要去注意到这个嘛。你如果看到小朋友被打的时候，你可能都是要去 report 这个东西。但是很多时候，这个被打的都是移民，那其实移民的那种观念跟我们老外的观念是非常不一样，所以这个有时候文化的冲突就在这里。So sometimes as a psychologist or a teacher or a doctor, you have to pay attention to.Kids who got beat up at times. But sometimes when you pay attention further, the kids get beat up sometimes are from different culture. So that's where the cultural conflict is. For certain culture, beat up your kid is something you must do. But for our, the United States culture, that's a big no-no, right? It's a big no-no. So there's the cultural conflict here. So here just to repeat what I just talked about, So you have re-experiencing, avoidance. Avoidance means that you tend to avoid things associated with the events. For example, I mentioned about my car accident. Right? After the car accident, I avoid driving for a little while as a natural response. I actually avoid driving for a while.那个其中另外一个除了就是重新经历你的那个不好的经历之外呢其他的另外一个现象就是你会去那个回避，或者是你会去逃避跟这个灾难有关的事情。比如说我之前提到说我大学时候有车祸之后，我最常回避的就是车子，开车跟车有关的地方我会稍微回避这样子。所以这个是一个，也是一个常见的一个现象，常见的现象。Not only you avoid things that's outside of you, sometimes you try to avoid things inside of you. When you have flashbacks, you try to push it away, you try to avoid that. One common way people try to avoid that is by, guess what? Drinking? Drugs, alcohol, as a way to sort of temporarily escape.所以那个我们在逃避不只是逃避外在的，我们有时候会逃避内在的，就是我们内在的一些反应，我们会想要逃避。那其中一个最常的反应，一个常见的逃避反应就是用吸毒啊，或者是喝酒。 借酒消愁，愁更愁。所以这个，所以其实不是一个很好的逃避方式。那除了喝酒，还有吸毒之外呢，有时候是麻痹自己，就是有时候就是我们说行尸走肉，就是尽量不要有任何感觉。So another thing that people do is psychological numbing. They just sort of numb themselves psychologically. It's a sort of a psychological defense that people sort of just try not to feel anything at all. Try not to feel anything at all as a way to escape feelings. As a way to escape feelings. And in fact, if you take one step further, some people are so good at numbing themselves, they actually start to dissociate from themselves, meaning they actually can bring themselves out and looking at themselves as if they're looking at movies. So they become depersonalized. So, and if you take that one step further, some people are so good at doing that, they actually become a different self. It's like, I'm really not Peter, I'm Tom. And they look at themselves as Peter. Yeah.
So what is the process of numbing yourself?
What's the process of numbing?
Yeah.
Could be that, but I'm talking about something probably one step further than that. Sort of trying not to feel, psychologically, they just don't want to feel much. They just don't want to feel much. And, yeah.
How does this differ from the way that we are taught to approach our emotions?
How does this differ from the way we're taught to approach our emotions in Chan practice?
Oh.
When you sit down to meditate, how could meditation help a person with post-traumatic stress disorder? That's basically what I'm asking,
good.
I guess.
That's a good question, because for someone who doesn't use meditation correctly, they might use it as an escaping method.
Well, right. I mean, we always teach that you're not supposed to be trying to suppress your feelings.
That's right.
You're supposed to be trying to remain mindful of your feelings as they occur without allowing the feelings to take over your whole, your whole mental state.
Yes.
And
I would say the main difference is we're taught to be in touch with our feelings without being affected by it. Numbing and dissociation is different. They're very scared of their feelings.
Well, right. That's like the person who, when meditating, is fighting with his own mind. Every time he feels a thought coming up, he gets angry with himself and tries to push the thought down.
Yes.
Pretty much every meditation teacher I've ever heard of says that doesn't work. What happens is the mind will win that battle, right? So you shouldn't be trying to fight it like that. You should be observing what's happening and accepting it, actually.
Right.
It's a process of acceptance. When the person with post-traumatic stress disorder gets to the point where he can sit there and, he can feel these feelings coming up, he watches them, but he knows at all times, well, this is my post-traumatic stress disorder happening again.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's mindful of it, it doesn't really take over and, ruin his life. Right.
That's correct. It's almost like, I guess the difference is almost like watching Discovery Channel. Like we watch Discovery Channel, seeing the lion running around TV, we're like, oh, that's interesting. People who have numbness and PTSD is more like watching it. It's like, oh my God, the lion's going to come to get me. Let me shut it off.
Yeah,
so that's the attitude is very different.
The person who's numbing himself is not practicing the paramita of acceptance.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because what we're really trying to do here is, the Buddha would not have any problem with these thoughts arising in his mind. He would just see them and say, well, there they are. And they would come and they would go and it wouldn't affect him in any deep way. Right?
That's right.
But he wouldn't be saying, oh, that's terrible. We've got to push that down. Mm-hmm. Can't allow that to happen.
That's right.
You know, that's not the idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to translate that for me? Phil菩萨他刚才问了一个问题，我觉得非常好，他是说。 那这个我们这个麻木自己的人跟那个禅修的不同在哪里？那因为麻木自己，我们的讨论主要是说麻木想办法去麻痹自己的人呢，或是逃避自己感觉的人，就是会想办法把自己的感觉推开，想办法不去面对自己的感觉。那禅修最大不同就是你要学习的去面对我们自己的感觉，但是不被我们的感觉带着跑。 不被我们自己的感觉带着跑，所以这个在这个态度上是非常的不同的，态度上是非常不同的，就有点像我刚才说，就有点像看电视，我们在看那个动物奇观，禅修是看着动物奇观，好像是非常有趣，如果我们那个电视是我们的脑的话，就是我们的信念的话，我们是以这种态度去看的，但是有那个逃避的人是看到动物就吓很怕说，哦，什么时候这个动物会咬我，有点是这种。 这种不同的地方，so yes, so it's all about avoidance. So the dissociation numbness is all about avoiding to re-experience. And the last one is hyperarousal. That means you're very jumpy, you're jittery, anxious. That's why PTSD is one of the anxiety disorder because that's one of the main manifestation of PTSD is very anxious, very anxious. You're like the animals always on the run. Animals all in a run. 所以最后一组的症状就是你非常的恐慌，然后常常就是随时准备要跑，或者是要打架，随时要跑要打架。 So PTSD is the one common long-term reaction people have after trauma. Not everyone, but a small percent of people might develop that. And usually we don't diagnose it at least a month or two later, the disaster anyway. And the other, but there's, other than PTSD, people can might develop other type of long-term problem, such as, here just a whole bunch, major depression, suicidal thoughts. 所以刚才我们讲那个创伤症候群是，就是少数人在经历那个 灾难之后会可能会产生的，但是除了创伤症候群之外呢，其实还有其他的一些症状也有可能会产生，但是都是少数人而已，不是说大部分的人。那有什么症状呢？譬如说忧郁症，有些人可能不是创伤症候群，但是是忧郁症。自杀的念头，自杀的想法，吸毒吸酒是蛮常见的。 So alcohol and drug abuse, that's a possible long-term reaction. Anxiety disorders, other than PTSD. 所以有些除了创伤症候群之外，也会得到恐慌症，或者是那个焦虑症。 Dissociative disorder, I mentioned a little bit before, that people actually dissociate. The most famous dissociative disorder, which is very rare, but you see it a lot on TV, is something called a multiple personality disorder. That's a famous dissociative identity. The technical name for it is called dissociative identity disorder. It's, you're so good at avoiding that you create a different self within you. So when Johnny get beat up, it's not Johnny get beat up, it's Peter get beat up. You see? So psychologically, we're very creative. We can create many ways to avoid or reject our experience. So that's just one creative way that people come up. Dissociative disorder, 中文叫做那个可能是游离症吧，就是我们可以把我们的心脱离到好像看着自己是陌生人的感觉。那最有名的游离症就是所谓的多重人格症，就是。 所谓多重人格的意思就是，现在受伤的人不是我，是另外一个人，就是不是 Peter 在受伤，是 Johnny 在受伤。他们可以把他们的感觉分得这么清楚，所以变成所谓的多重人格症。 And some other feeling is feeling estranged, isolated, cannot finish your daily task. Okay. So what can you do for yourself? So, 虽然我们刚才讲的那些症状都是正常的, 但是你还是可以用一些方法, 让自己心安一点, 心安一点。 师父在 Stony Brook 那场演讲, 第一个就是开始讲到怎么样用方法, 让我们身心比较安稳, 所以这是有方法可以去用的。 So what can you do for yourself to deal with some of the symptoms that we talk about? And I think Sifu at his lecture at Stony Brook back then actually mentioned, the very first thing he mentioned is using method to relax our mind and body. That's one good way of dealing with some of the symptoms we just talked about. So if you're a charm practitioner, feel free to use your charm practice. But if you're not a charm practitioner, then you have to find ways to relax yourself, to be kind to yourself. And people do many different things to relax themselves. But, you know, since we're a chant center, we promote chant practice. Very good. Excellent. You gotta use it. Okay. That's why. This is, the commercial time for our chant center. Okay. 所以那个其实我们刚才讲的很多症状都是正常，但是正常的症状我们还是要用方法去面对它。 如果你有禅修的经验的话，禅修当然是可以放松身心非常好的方法。如果你没有用禅修的话，你可能就要去想说平常你是用什么方法去放松身心。 So here's some of the things that we usually recommend people do right after disaster to sort of help themselves. Actually, this is some of the things I recommend people to do when I was at the disaster doing relief work. Last year, when I went to relief work, I'm part of mental health professional, so what I do is I walk around and I talk to people and to help them to find ways to calm their mind down. One way I actually taught people a lot is meditation. That's actually one way I taught them. Interestingly, people at Haiti are all Christians, right? Christians, right? So you have to change the instruction a little bit, right? So I teach them to relax, right? Enjoy their breath. But the attitude I taught them is, imagine the breath is a gift from God. So appreciate what God gave you. So you sort of go around it by giving them a different attitude, but combined with their religion. So 我就是在教大家怎么样去放松的方法。那其中有教最常教的就是我们当然就是禅修的方法，静坐的方法。那但是在那个海地，很多时候那个他们都是基督教或天主教，所以你要稍微把它那个你的那个方法稍微用不同的方式去讲。譬如说享受呼吸，那怎么去享受呼吸呢？就是想象这个你的呼吸是神给你的一个礼物。 appreciate, 我们要去感恩那个神给我们的这份礼物，然后带着这份心去关照他，这样。所以其实有时候我们是要用不同的方法去解释一个方法，这样子。Always don't rush yourself. If you feel certain way, give your time to adjust. 不要急。 我们那个心理的反应都是会慢慢随着时间改变，慢慢随着时间改变。Try to keep usual routine, which is pretty important. 有时候灾难过后，很多时候大家会有的那个生活的习惯会有很大的改变，尽量不要去做太大的改变。 比如说你如果是九点起床，你还是尽量九点起床；你如果是中午吃饭，你还是尽量中午吃饭，就是尽量不要去做太大的改变。 So try to keep your usual routine as much as possible. That will help you to recover better. And try not to make any major life decision like changing your job or switching career or divorce your wife. I mean, try not to do those major decisions right after disaster, because that might not be the best time to do so. 所以有时候，尤其是灾难过后，尽量不要去做一些很重大的人生的抉择，譬如说换工作啊，换环境啊，或者是什么离婚啊，反正这种非常大的一种人生抉择，可能最好不要在灾难过后去做这样子。Take time to deal with your day-to-day problem so they don't add up. They don't add up. And don't shy away from situations that remind you of trauma. So don't need to shy away from them. Okay. 所以有时候其中另外比较帮助你可以恢复的方式呢，就是尽量把每天的琐事，或是尽量，如果今天这个是麻烦事，尽量在今天解决，不要让麻烦的事情一直累积，然后也尽量不要太去逃避，会想让你想起这个你的创伤的人事物，就像我们是他讲的，要尽量去学习面对，面对，面对。然后除了这个之外，另外一个非常重要就是学习着去跟家人朋友分享。So another important thing is, which is always useful, not always, but most of the time it's very useful, is sharing. Try to find a good friend or family members who's willing to listen to you about your experience. And so the key point is someone who's willing to listen to you, because we do have a lot of friends and family who do not like to listen to you. So do not find them. Okay. I have relatives, I know friends, every time you start to talk to them for 2 minutes, their eyes start to rolling away. So obviously they might not be your best candidate for this kind of event, okay? 所以有时候你要分享是非常重要，但是尽量找会去听你分享的人。有时候我们其实身边有很多人不是很会去听人家的分享，像我有个亲戚或是朋友，每次你一讲没两分钟，他们眼神已经开始飘移，不知道飘到哪里去了，所以你只好 就不能讲不下去了。Ask for support from people who care about you and who's listening, as I said earlier. Try to do some leisure activities if possible, recreational activities, leisure activities, very important. 尽量做一些休闲活动也是会有帮助的。做一些休闲活动。This sounds pretty straightforward, right? I mean, pretty obvious. Guess what? People don't do that. Very obvious. Just as obvious as you should brush your teeth at night. Guess what? People don't do that. Alright. So this is just a reminder again, okay? 所以做一些休闲的活动。然后做一些对健康有意义的活动。Engage in health behavior such as doing exercise. It's always help. Exercise is one very helpful thing for not justthe symptoms we just talked about. It's actually very helpful for our mind in general, for many, many psychological disorders. People who are depressed, when they do exercise twice a week, the effect, some research show that's as good as taking Prozac, if you have a regular exercise going. So exercise is actually a very good remedy. 运动，做健康的活动，譬如说运动是非常好的。有时候研究可以显示说，忧郁症的人如果有在每个礼拜做个两三次运动的话，他那个效果可以几乎跟抗忧的药是一样的。所以运动是一个非常好的一个活动。And recognize that you cannot control everything. Don't blame yourself for everything. And recognize the need for trained help and call local mental health center if everything fails. Okay?所以最后两点就是要尽量去知道说我们其实不是说什么都可以控制的，就是要学习放下，就是不要觉得说什么都是跟你有关，都是你的错。然后另外一个重点就是，如果你试了很多事情都没办法让身心安定下的话，要学着去找医生，要找医生。So, know when to seek professional help is as important as know how to take care of yourself. Any questions so far? You know what to do? Yep.
And help to create this organization that helps all the mother. That seems to be a way of helping yourself and helping others. When you transform your trauma and your pain into helping others.
Constructive, yes. I think if that's helpful, I mean, it's not helpful for everyone to do that, but if it's helpful for you, yes. And I think ultimately that's related to our topic today, really, is how to transform the suffering of others and yourself into something useful. So, so on that spirit, on that note, I think that's very important. 所以刚才那个这位师姐说，有些譬如说有些妈妈他们在车祸中失去了一个小孩，所以他们把他们去创一些互助会，就是说譬如说妈就是失去小孩的互助会。那他觉得这样好不好？我说非常好。你如果可以把你的那个不好的经历，把它转换成有用的力量，这是我觉得今天的重点也是这样。怎么样把不好的经历转换成对我们人生有用的智慧？这是一个重点吧，这是一个重点。One thing I didn't mention is there's also self-help group, related to what you said. Sometimes people have self-help group that.For example, all 9/11 victims get together, do weekly sharing. It's not for everyone, but if it's helpful for you, you could try it out. 那刚才我忘记讲的就是美国其实有很多互助会。那个互助会就是譬如说车祸的那个啊就是譬如说都是有车祸的 victim 嘛。奇怪，有时候我那个中文真的忽然越变越差，然后多讲中文。车祸的苦主，哎，那个苦主也听起来怪怪。就是这样，就是他们就是会组一个互助会，譬如说癌友会也是一个很典型的互助会。People who have cancer, they got together. That's another example of self-help. How about when you have children? What can you do for your children? For children.I think mostly are similar with adults, but children are a little bit different than adults. Children, one thing about children is they tend to imagine things. So when they don't understand, they start to create their own theory of what happened. So one thing important with children is try to explain to them clearly what happened. And let your child know, and another important thing is teach them.To accept the feelings that they have. Okay? Teach them to feel okay. How they feel is okay. Don't tell them, oh, bad boy, you shouldn't feel sad. Be a strong man. I mean, don't do that. Okay. Help the kid to accept their feelings. So, 如果有小孩子的话，小孩子就跟大人是类似的，但是其中有几个重点是要让小孩子学习去接受他们自己的感受，要教导小孩子，他们的感受是正常的，是正常的。那有时候大人要以身作则，其实有时候大人要学着分享，就说哦，我很伤心，但是我们可以学着面对这个伤心，这样。And encourage your kid to express feeling and thoughts without making judgments. So the key word here is don't make judgments. Let them express themselves.Now, children is interesting. A lot of time, what happens when you have a 3-year-old kid? How do you help them to express feelings? Kids tend not to be very verbal. Kids are not verbal. So there are other ways you can help kids to express their feelings, such as play with them. Play, you know how kids like to play? Ask them to tell you a story about the dolls they're playing, or ask them to draw out their feelings. So kids are better sharing their feeling using non-verbal techniques than verbal. And one last thing that's also important for kids is especially during the disaster, kids should be with their parents or with families, first of all. And second of all, try to build a routine for them. So every day, try to build a daily routine for them, however possible. When I had a chance working at the Sichuan earthquake, at one point I was at the Sichuan earthquake. So the group of people I work as actually kids. So we actually have a daily routine for the kids every day. So every day they show up 8 o'clock, and this is what we do from 8 to 9, from 9 to 10, 9 to 11, 11 to 12. So we set it up, a daily routine for them all the time, so they can feel more comfortable. And we also do things to help them to share their feelings, teach them songs, things like that. So for kids, it's a little bit different than adults, but mostly similar. But we need to pay attention to them because they're actually more vulnerable sometimes than the adults. Did I translate all that? Yeah. Okay. 那个小朋友另外一个重点就是他们需要让小朋友去表现，不是表现，就是让他们去讲他们的感觉。要尽量鼓励小朋友去分享他的感觉。那有时候小朋友他不是很会说话，所以另外的方式就是以譬如说说故事的方式，会画画的方式，让小朋友去分享他的。有时候小朋友可以把他的感觉画出来，但说不出来。所以，但是我们不要去批评他的感觉，所以这个是重点。不要说这个不好，这个是好。那重要是小朋友在灾难过后呢，他们特别需要亲人，跟亲人在一起，所以需要把他们跟亲人放在一起。然后再来就是他们需要一些每天需要一定的，最好有一定的一个那个 routine， 就是一定的规律，生活要有规律，对小朋友会更重要，对小朋友会更重要。 Okay, so one thing I forgot to mention is also anniversary and triggering event. I mentioned it earlier. Especially today is an anniversary of 9/11. And it's very common that during anniversary that people feel stronger emotion. So be aware that this sometime our anniversary can be difficult. So be prepared for that. Not everyone, but for some of us. So be gentle with yourself on this day, if possible. And don't worry if you're not experiencing any difficult feeling or emotion. That doesn't mean that you're wrong, something wrong with you. It's just that you're not feeling it. For some of us, we have strong feelings on an anniversary day, and for some of us, we don't. Okay? 所以我刚才比较还没仔细讲到，就是很多时候在那个所谓的譬如说忌日啊，或是就是anniversary， 就是譬如说周年，我原本想说周年庆，但是周年庆怪怪的，那个中文不太对，是周年的那个的纪念日齁，有时候在那个纪念日的时候，我们会有比较强的反情绪会出来，这是非常正常的。所以可能就是可能要注意到这一点。但是如果你没有什么很强烈的反应的时候，这也是正常的，这也是正常的。So what can you do on the anniversary day? There's several things. If possible, try to participate in some kind of ritual. Doesn't have to be memorials. Like 9/11, we always have memorial.That could be one kind of ritual, but sometimes people have different ritual. For example, for someone who lost their loved one, every year they might sort of go out dinner. That's a ritual. Or every year they play a certain song for themselves. That's a ritual. So you could come up your own ritual every year to deal with the anniversary. 这个周年的譬如说忌日来讲，我们其实其中一个你可以做的就是有一些一定的一个的一些模式的，不是模式，但是就是我们有很多方式可以去面对这个周年的一个 的一个日子，譬如说去参加那个所谓的 memorial 纪念日，有纪念日的一些那个仪式，我们可以参加仪式，但是不是每一个人都需要参加仪式。有时候我们譬如说忌日大家吃晚餐，每年的忌日吃晚餐，或者每年的忌日听音乐，所以每个人都可以找出他们自己每一年当那一天来临的时候他们可以做的事情。And try to plan your activities ahead. Don't wait till last minute. So you don't want to add extra stress to yourself. You know, like you're supposed to go out, eat dinner every year, and then you forgot to make your appointment on that day, and then you go there, and they say, oh, we're sorry, run out of seats for you, and then you get yourself extra pissed off. So we try to avoid that. So plan your activities ahead. 那通常最好在这个周年的时候呢，这个纪念日的时候呢，最好是稍微计划一下，不要最后做最后一秒钟的决定这样子。因为有时候你做最后一秒钟的决定可能会有一些变化，让你心情会受到起伏。And reach out to family and friends again. If you have no family and friends, time to make some. It's very important. One of the most important things that help us to deal with difficulties in life is people. Believe or not, that's why we have Sangha. Sangha is a group of people who practice together. So people, family, friends are important. 所以那个我刚才一直在强调，就是有时候朋友家人是对我们来讲是非常重要，因为他们是会帮助我们度过一些人生的难关。所以如果你人际关系不太好的话，可能要稍微考虑一下怎么样增进你的人际关系，因为这个也是我们人生一个财富嘛。人生财富有钱的财富，但是人际关系本身也是一种财富，所以有点要像存钱一样。And do what you would like to do rather than what you think you should do. So don't do things that because other people say you should do, then you do them. Don't force yourself. Do whatever that make you feel comfortable. 所以最后就是不要去做一些强迫你自己的事情。在这个比较重要的纪念日，因为有时候你会觉得，人家都是办活动，我是不是也要一起办活动？不需要这样，就是我们找自己的方式去面对这些比较重要的日子。So I think I mentioned a lot about disaster and how we deal with disaster, but I think the more important lesson of disaster is really about impermanence. All the disaster, the reason why we're stressed out, if you look about why people are stressed out, it's because we don't have a good attitude towards impermanence, or we don't know how to face impermanence. So impermanence is actually a nice way of saying change, but the biggest symbol of impermanence is actually death and dying. So something we need to cultivate, a good attitude towards it. And I found this online. 师父 said, 所以师父说超越死亡的三个原则，不要寻死，不要怕死，不要等死。那我们刚才讲的这些灾难的一些的这些那个的一些反应啊，我们人生为什么痛苦啊，其实很多时候以佛法的角度来讲，就是我们对那个无常不够了解，不够了解，所以无常来的时候我们比较心里没办法去准备。所以师父也说过，其中的最好的准备的方式就是要学习面对无常。So 师父 said one of the best way to prepare for disaster is actually have a good attitude towards impermanence. Cultivate the right attitude towards impermanence. So 师父 said there are three principles of facing death. Don't seek death. Let me see, there's an English translation here. To transcend the suffering of death,Keep to the three principles. Never seek death. Never fear death. And never wait for death to come. So that's Sifu's teaching for us. Sifu's teaching for us. And Sifu at one time, he gave an encouragement to the victims of 921 Taiwan earthquake at one point. 师父一生面对无数困境，然后在921大地震的时候，他曾鼓励受灾的民众要从受苦受难中走过来，才知道如何帮助众生脱离苦难，才如何帮助众生脱离苦难。So 师父 gave encouragement to the victims of the Taiwan 921 earthquake at one point, telling the victims that in order to help people free from their suffering, sometimes we need to walk through our own suffering. So learning how to transform our suffering into wisdom and use that wisdom to help ourselves and others, that's the practice of Chan. I think that's the spirit of Chan, is to turn the suffering into something useful. Turn the suffering into something useful. And so the goal is to understand and accept impermanence. And Sifu, I think Sifu often used an analogy of the group of people traveling together on a bus. I think many of us heard that before. Sifu 有用很多例子来教导我们面对无常。那其中的他常用的例子就是，当我们坐公车的例子啊，上车跟下车的例子，对。所以那个师父有时候会开示说，譬如说我们失去亲人、失去心爱的人的时候，就有点像我们人生啊，就有点像坐公车一样，就是我们大家来这一招都是有个目标，都做同个目标。就像坐公车，我们有些人要这一站下，有些人要这一站下。那在有些人下车了之后呢，不代表我们永远跟他分离。Right? So 师父 said that everyone has a mission in his or her life, and occasionally we share the same bus with his friends and on our missions.So when one person's mission is accomplished, this person would get off one bus and board another one to travel and traveling to another destination. So this is what Sifu say as an example often to help us to cope with impermanence, especially when we lost our loved ones. Sometimes our loved ones have a different mission. So they have a different destination than us. So just like taking a bus, they have a different destination. So they go to a different place.所以那个师父说啊，有时候我们失去心爱的人或失去亲人呢，就有点像坐公车。其实每个人都有人生的目标，他们只是早一点下车，就像坐公车一样。我们在一起坐公车，但是他们有不同的地方要去，所以他们去搭不同的公车。So death is inevitable, but we can approach it with a peace of mind. We can approach a peace of mind. From impermanence though, from the Chan's perspective, the reason why we cannot accept impermanence is because we have a wrong view of what self really is. What is the true nature of self? So one way to explain why it's harder for us to accept impermanence is because we don't have the correct view of self. Correct view of self. So, let me probably skip this part.This time's almost over. So I think the last part I would like to say is peace. From learning to accept and acknowledge impermanence, we start to gain a better understanding of the nature of the self. And once we start to gain a better understanding of the self, we start to see that our life, our self is actually interconnected.With others. 所以从学习去面对无常跟了解无常中，我们会开始看到我的本质。那如果学习看到我的本质呢，就可以看到说，其实我们跟众生都是相连的。那以师父的开示来讲，我们都是生命的共同体，我们都是生命的共同体。所以这是一个师父的开示。养成了生命共同体的观念和共识之后，我们就会爱惜这个社会，爱惜我们的环境，爱惜共同生活这个环境中的每一个人， 假如没有这种共识与认识，这次灾难过了之后还是一样，人心一样的浮动，一样的自私，一样的混乱，又回到从前。所以灾难之后是往正面思考的契机，由灾难之中得到很多的教训。大家应该要求平安，求平安要先求心安，当从每一个人自心做起，自身做起，自己先要安心，再帮助他人安心。所以我觉得这个可能是我以这个师父的开始为结尾，当我今天结尾。 So for the English speaker, you see 师父 say a lot of stuff here. So but what 师父 said here is and this is a talk referring to disaster. 师父 talk about how we are 生命的共同体， we are interconnected, our life are all interconnected, andOnly when we start to cultivate this attitude, only when we start to cultivate this attitude, we will learn to appreciate this society better. We will appreciate our environment better. We will appreciate every people that we meet in this society. And so if we don't have this kind of attitude, this interconnectedness, the attitude of interconnectedness, the attitude of a big self, or even the no self,then we are always going to be selfish, and our minds are always going to be unsettled. Our minds are always going to be unsettled. So the disaster is always an opportunity for us to reflect the meaning of life, really. What is our life about? And we need to gain some wisdom to, gain wisdom from disaster and learn how tocultivate peace in our mind. So in order to deal with disaster, we need to cultivate a peaceful attitude. Once you cultivate this peaceful attitude, then you can help others to cultivate that attitude. So this is what that we can best do with the disaster that we have. So I think I'm going to end on this note of what Sivu say. And thank you very much.